Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. So, where are we this week? Or, as we normally ask, where are we with Jesus this week? Well, today's Easter Sunday, and it is what has been from the beginning of the Christian tradition, the most important day in the Christian calendar. This is the day when early believers would be baptized at dawn on Easter morning to rise in new life with the resurrected Christ. This is the day we celebrate what is known as the resurrection. And there are two gospel scriptures in the lectionary for Easter this year, one in John, which is a narration kind of the resurrection. But since we spent Good Friday with John, we thought maybe we would spend Easter morning with Mark and look at the Mark in scripture for today. And I'll be honest, we made that call, or I made that call, because this is one of my favorite scripture passages, because it tells about women as the first to hear the news of the empty tomb. And women don't always get the starring role. So let's hear what Mark has to say.
So perhaps before I read the scripture, we need to have a moment to let everybody get over the surprise, Karen, that this is one of your favorites.
Yes, of course. That would be a shock to nobody.
All right. Well, our passage is from the Gospel of Mark, and it is the 16th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So why does this matter? Well, part of it, I think, is the very fact that you like what you like about this passage, that, you know, it's the women who were the last ones at the cross. They were the ones still hanging around after Jesus had died and after everybody else had kind of given up and departed. And then now here they are as the first to find the empty tomb. Now, there's an interesting thing here, and perhaps some of our listeners might just like the task of looking this up. But I know, Karen, when you and I talked about this, it's interesting that we typically say or just assume that the person waiting in, or the individual waiting in the tomb, was an angel. But the passage says that it was a young man dressed in white. So who knows? Maybe it was just a kid who happened to be passing by that morning, and Jesus said, "Here, hey, could you come sit in the tomb and wait? Because somebody's going to show up looking for me. Would you just remind them that I'm going to be in Galilee and tell them to go and find me? I'm not there." And so
I love that, Blake, because I'm thinking we overlook that. We go, "Oh, it's angel in the tomb," and move on. We don't even unpack it at all. It's just something we overlook. Yeah.
And a reason for me that might, it just kind of adds to the story, because when we think about this, it was the people who stayed, the people who were the first to return, were those without power. They were the ones that were considered less in society. So if also it's a young boy who's sitting there, who was there to to tell that it's that's who's there. The disciples aren't there. The
Yeah.
disciples have gone. They've moved on.
They went home. That's
They
what
went
they
home.
did. They went home.
You know, we don't get the details in Mark of the resurrection. We are allowed to fill in the story, but the piece that is there is that those who came first, those who were last and first, were people without power. So another piece about this is that Mark's gospel originally ends, and depending on what version you read, you may see at the end of this passage. This is the short version of Mark, and yet there is more to the story. And if you stop here, the women are terrified and fearful and bewildered, and it actually says that they told no one. So as we read on beyond that, they do actually go and share the message.
I
What's
think that too is a really good important thing. A lot of people have Bibles where the story continues, but most scholars would say this is where it ends. But people were kind of uncomfortable with this terrified ending, and so they added more to it to make it a more palatable story. So it's like, oh, okay, well, let's look at this.
Right, but if we stop at that point, if we
Yeah.
stop at this point where, okay, the realization that he has come, he's gone, or even if we go beyond where the disciples have moved on, they've gone home, their life is in chaos. I mean,
Yeah.
this is not, it's not like, oh, great, he has risen, life is good, everything's going to be fine from now on. It was still a point of fear and bewilderment and chaos. And so one thing that's really important that we can receive from this message is, Jesus says, go to Galilee. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in the midst of chaos. I'm not going to take it away. It's not all flowers and white and beautiful from this point on. We're going to continue with life, but I will meet you there. And Mark seems to be reminding the early Christians that God meets us in the midst of chaos. So some questions we might ask ourselves are, first, how have I felt the presence of the Spirit in the midst of chaos? Another question is, what might I learn from paying attention to those who go unnamed, those who are powerless, or those who have been overlooked, who are actually the ones sometimes carrying a message that the rest of us miss? And finally, when have I not spoken up out of fear? And when have I been afraid, but stepped out in faith anyway?
Oh, yeah, that's both endings, isn't it? When have I not spoken out of fear, and when have I done it anyway? And maybe we could have added, and when have I just gone home? Because there are days, I think many of us have done that too, when things are chaotic and crazy. All right, this Easter, we are there at the empty tomb with this young messenger and the women who have come. How do we experience that moment for the rest of this week? And so I'm thinking that in our self-reflection this week, or maybe in a discussion with your household, family, or friend, you might consider this kind of, not really a question, but imagine this event. If it was me and I heard the messenger, if I walked to the opening of the tomb and saw the young man and got the, hey, here's what he told me to tell you. Would I go and tell people that? Would I just go home? Would I be too afraid to do anything? What would I do? And so ask yourself that. If I show up and it's the messenger giving the message to me, what would I do?
Probably yell at the messenger.
No, I would give him a tip, but
The messenger always gets the hard rap.
that's sometimes. But I just, that whole idea of the young man in the tomb, not, let's say he's not an angel, he's a young man in the tomb waiting to give the message to whoever shows up. What do I do now? Think about that this Easter week.
All right. Well, our blessing for this Easter comes from For Presence by John O'Donohue. Awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. Have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. Receive encouragement when new frontiers beckon. Respond to the call of your gift and the courage to follow its path. Let the flame of anger free you of all falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame. May anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. Take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. Be consoled in the secret symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. Amen.
That's a lovely Easter blessing for today.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this Easter episode of Coffee to Go. Remember that we're not done with Easter. We're entering into Easter season. So we hope you'll join us again for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.